Hallelujah. Jesus, you are the risen and exalted one. Glory, glory, glory. You are the risen and exalted one. Hallelujah. We're coming up to that season here real quick, aren't we? My, my, my. Time is flying. We've got all kinds of blood moons coming and all kinds of things going on and excitement and eclipses and signs in the heavens. Wow. Wow. Well, I woke up this morning. I thought I'd have a little more time to look at what I wanted to say tonight, and went out and looked at the water, and we had, praise God, we had water running out our ears. The tanks were full, and I had together, and I've been either in the woods or in the sugar camp all day today, and just wiped off the dirt and got here barely in time. My brother is still boiling, and we'll probably be boiling till after midnight tonight, I imagine. And that's a good thing, praise God. After this crazy year, I was just beginning to think and wonder whether we would have any kind of a sugar camp season this year. But praise God, it looks like it could be a good one. They're talking below normal next week, and that below normal is good for this time of year because that'll give us some freezing and give us some more runs the way it looks. I wanted to talk about praise tonight. I just get kind of excited about praising the Lord. And Debbie spoke Sunday and was speaking of some of the things that are coming on us and how when we, and our other speaker was speaking about, John was speaking about getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror. And sometimes we wonder whether we hadn't ought to just get back and get under the covers and stay in bed, you know. But if we could just get in a spirit of praise all the time. We're going to look at some things. We're going to look at several different situations on praise tonight, how they praise the Lord and the outcome of that. I knew there was at least seven, and I had six good ones, and Holly went and looked it up on the computer and found 10 different definitions of praise. We got Shabbat. Shabbat is one of the things I want to talk about a little bit tonight, and take that over to Ruah, and where we can go around saying Ruah, which is, we're going to find out, is a ear-splitting praise, and I believe it can accomplish a lot. But Shabbat is a shout, a praise, express of confidence in God's ability, and so, you know, we need to be Shabbat-ing a lot, yeah, because we ought to have confidence in Him. And express that confidence in a way that we're not afraid to shout it forth. Barak is another one, which is a little on a quieter side. And by the way, praise is something that is, you know, we can worship and we can sit and worship and we can worship in spirit. And we maybe can just sit still and worship and get away with that and worship. But in praise, we cannot get away with that. There is action in praise. Everything in praise, everything that we do in praise is action, some kind of action that we have to take. Barak is kneel, is a kneeling, and is blessing the Lord. We just sang bless the Lord, and it's expressing our humility to Him. Yada is another one. That's an extended hand. It expresses gratitude, extended hand out. Toda is another one, which is a raised hand. We raise hands and praise the Lord. You know, that's another definition of a praise. Expresses adoration to Him. I don't know how this one's exactly. It's T-A-Q-A. Clap and applaud. We can clap hands and applaud in praise, which we do at times after sometimes the songs, and we clap and hands and praise, and it expresses joy and victory. Hallah is a good one. Hallah expresses extravagantly. The root word is hallelujah, which means praise, hallah, to Yah, our God. It's expression of joy and jubilation and celebration, and it's to boast. Hallah is to boast. You know, you always hear people boasting about how good they are or how my dad was good, my dad could do this. You know, I can say, my dad, hey, I just want to tell you about my dad. I'm glad you brought up dads. My dad created everything that you see here, you know? And you know, the stars out there, he holds them in his hands, and I can just get extravagant and boast about my God. Which is a praise to Him. You know, and not be ashamed of it. You know, You're not ashamed to boast about IU, are you, Randy? Yeah. But we can. We can take our I'm a Ford man, our car, or our ball team, or whatever, and we can just go nuts and just stand on that to I don't care what. But that's the way we ought to be with God. We ought to be at halal all the time. Hallelujah. We ought to be boasting and extravagant about what we say about our God. I mean, gee, He created me. He created this earth. He created everything. Boy, what a God. So that's another one. Tehillah, which is singing, singing of scripture, singing, you got, it can be the Tehillah and Tephillah, T-E-P-H-I-L-L-A-H. That is prayer sung in intercession. Them two, in one of them two, it can be a spiritual song. It can be singing, you know, you're there washing the dishes and all of a sudden something hits you in the spirit. You just need to go off on a spiritual song and just sing a Tehillah to the Lord. Just something that comes out of your spirit. Something that comes out of your heart. That is the way to praise Him. I believe those praises really excite Him more than anything. It's something that comes right from our heart. Instead of just singing a song. And songs are good. Songs have good messages and everything in them. But just singing from a heart, just spontaneously to the Lord, is another way of praise. Karah, K-A-R-A. The example there is 2 Samuel 6:14 is the dance. David danced before the Lord with all his might, expresses joy and expresses celebration. And we know the thing from that whole story, if you don't dance, you don't have babies. As his wife was very upset with him, and we found out what happened to her because she was upset with David's dancing. He was not ashamed of his Lord. He danced with everything that he had. He expressed joy and celebration. We're going to look at situations where they done that, and it's just the exciting outcomes that happen. Zamar, example there is in Psalms 4 and 6 and 7, 17, is making music by striking the fingers on strings or parts of musical instrument, using the musical instruments to praise God. And it makes a holy atmosphere. The writer here says it's not just church cocktail music. It's zamar. There's a difference when there's anointing on it and when it comes from your spirit. Pastor's wife gave a prophecy over me years ago that as I sang and as played the piano and worshiped and sang that she saw a picture of a well and she saw notes come. Holly's made the I think she's had it up here of what do you call them? Banner. Yeah, there you go. A banner of it with the notes coming out of the well and floating through the air, and everything they touched would bring glory into the Lord. And I want to sing a song. It's a one that we haven't done. I'll sing that to you. I'm gonna mix a little music in tonight. This is one we did sing quite a lot a few years ago. It would come from the Vineyard. Dan Wilt wrote it, but it's it talks about praise. Jesus, we will prepare an altar. Jesus, we will bring costly gifts. Jesus, we will lift up an offering, the fruit of our lips. Jesus, we will make straight a highway. Jesus, we will prepare your way. Jesus, we will mature as people, a people of praise. We raise up a standard of praise. Receive, Lord, this offering we raise. We raise up a standard
lifted up praise to your glory, your glorious name, O Lord, standard of praise. Raise up a standard of praise. Receive, Lord, this offering we raise. We raise up a standard of praise in the nations and hallow your name most high with a standard of praise. With a standard of praise. We praise you, Lord, for this city. We praise you for opportunities, Lord, to raise up your name and to exalt you. Every day we have those opportunities and we want to give praise to you. Make that a standard in our lives. We raise up a standard of praise. Receive, Lord, this offering we raise. We raise up a standard of praise to your glory, your glorious name, O Lord. We raise up a standard of praise. Receive, Lord, this offering we raise. We raise up a standard of praise to your glory, your glorious name, O Lord, standard of praise, standard of praise, a standard of praise.
Do I always walk in that? 100% of the time. I would like to, and I should, and that's what I'm going to talk about. And that's a goal for me to do that. There's times that I do. There's times that I don't. We know when Israel came out of captivity, they saw the plagues and they saw God's hand move mightily in their situation and saw the power of God and saw God's protection and got to the sea and the enemy was encamped all about them and had them caught between the sea and they started complaining and murmuring and thinking about how much better off they had it back. They had all the leeks and onions and all. You know, that's the trouble with high places in our minds. You know, it becomes a spirit of lying. We think of about all the good things, you know, and it was, they didn't have leeks and onions. I mean, they didn't have that stuff, you know. But anyway, they didn't praise God on that side of the sea. And they were new at it, and God gave them a whole bunch of mercy and grace and put the fire and the cloud there, you know, and the enemy couldn't come and get them, and they saw that, and yet they're murmuring, carrying on, and we know what happened, and Moses obeyed God and the sea parted and they went across the sea and the enemy come in and every one of them destroyed. Every one of them destroyed. Then they decided to praise. Miriam got the timbrels out and they danced and they sang and just really praised. And I know it pleased God, but I just wonder, I don't know how much better he could have done. I know he really gave them mercy there. How much better he could have done if they'd have praised him on the other side. I mean, I don't know what, you know, he did about everything in that situation. But I think of that, and it tells me, you know, there's times that Debbie was talking about it, and there's times it seems like the enemy just has us surrounded, and we're not sure what's going on. If we could just raise up a standard of praise, not praise for what the enemy's doing, not praise for what's going on in the world and all the craziness, but praise for what God says is going to happen, and praise for what God says he's going to do in this situation and he'll do for us. Speaking forth, as Mick says, his word, and putting forth his word and giving praise forth for that. And the enemy hates that, you know. And so that situation, I'm not going to go and look at the scripture on that, but we're going to look at scripture on some others. Joshua is one I wanted to talk about, and we know that. I'm just going to look at a couple of verses there in Joshua, 6:5. Yeah. Joshua 6:5, where they were surrounding Jericho. And that's where I want to get to the Ruah. They were surrounding Jericho, and in 6:5, the Lord tells them, it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast in the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great voice, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. The people shall shout. What kind of shout was that? You go look up it up at 73:21, I believe it is, in the Strong's, and it's Ruah. That's a Ruah. And that's the first, you know, I heard Janelle speak of this a while back, and it got me interested in it, and I got to looking up and looking about Ruah, because I thought that was quite exciting. And it was just amazing. We turned on TV the other night, and a guy was talking, and he used that word, and I've never heard that used before. But something happened there. They one needed praise, and he goes, Ruah. I go, yeah, man. We're going the right direction. The definition of Ruah, the prime root, is to mar, especially by breaking, to split the ears with sound, i.e. shout for alarm or joy, blow an alarm, cry, alarm aloud, out, destroy, make a joyful noise, smart, shout for joy, sound an alarm, triumph, is the definition of Ruah. And that's the definition of that when they were told to shout. Now, over in 10, or verse 20, the people shouted again. So the people shouted, and the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat, down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The people were obedient, and they praised the Lord with a shout. That's a little bit different. The shout there is a little bit different. It's T-E-R-U-W-A-H. And it's an acclamation of joy or a battle cry, explanation, clamor, or of trumpet, a clangor, C-L-A-G-O-R, I'm not sure what it is, a bunch of trumpets, really, an alarm, blowing of a trumpet, joy, jubilee, loud noise, rejoicing, shouting, high, joyful sound. Now, they're in the middle of a war, in the middle of a fight, and they're giving a high, joyful sound, a Ruah of praise. And the wall came down. Now, this wall, you've heard before, and you all know, but this wall is huge. This wall's several feet wide up. They can drive chariots on top of it, and then the height is pretty big. And it just didn't fall down to where they had to climb over. It literally disintegrated. And I've heard people try to, and they're always trying to scientifically prove how things of the Bible happens. Well, you know, I don't know. And Ray Hughes is good. He's good into the sound and all that. And in the sound, the light is all the same spectrum. It's just a different on the scale, and how when God spoke, and you can get in all that. And I mean, I tell you, there's some awesome power there in all of that. But whether that sound, I don't believe scientifically would have been big enough to totally crumble those walls. I believe it just excited God so much because of their obedience and what they did that he just said, poof, and the walls were gone, you know. I don't have to scientifically prove everything that was in the Bible. I believe it. He says it, and I believe it. Some of them say the great fish and all that, you know. Well, you really believe that story? Yeah. I sure do. It's not a story. It's the truth. So here's a shout of praise right in the midst of the battle. They are obedient. They do what they were told. They didn't shout until they were told to shout. They shouted a ruah, a praise, and the walls just crumble and they could defeat the enemy. That's what we ought to be doing today. Janelle said after she saw this, she went running around saying ruah, ruah, ruah all day, you know. And so this is a case here of the shout of praise destroying the walls so that they could win the battle. Another one is in 2 Chronicles 13:15. Abijah, the king of Judah, is fighting Jeroboam of Israel. Jeroboam, this is, I believe it's Abijah, it's Abijah, A-B-I-J-A-H, is the king of Judah. And he had listened to the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do, and he's going against Jeroboam of Israel. And Jeroboam surrounded him, actually ambushed him, and came in from behind him in verse 13. There, chapter 13, verse 13 of 2 Chronicles, so that they were before Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with trumpets, and the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all of Israel before Abijah and Judah. Here's a shout of praise. And again, it's ruah, a shout of praise. How do we react when the enemy has us surrounded on both sides? You know? Do we give a shout of praise or do we react another direction? I need to tell you this. I had a landlord, my landlord, Julia Sullivan. She was down in Florida and her sister and her sister-in-law was down there. And a man broke in their house, and it actually killed her sister-in-law and her sister. Julie had 7 knife wounds, I think, and a bullet in her head. But the first thing when the door broke down, she hollered, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. And she survived. It's so, she tells me this story. She's passed, she's gone with the Lord right now, but she told me this story. She said it was, she felt that she was, you know, hurt bad, and she felt that she crawled after he left and crawled to the phone and called the police, and it was very few minutes there, but she said, "I felt like I needed to crawl back to where I was so I'd be at the right spot when they come in and see the situation." You know, it was kind of funny when we look back on it. But she hollered, "Praise the Lord," and she survived that situation. You know, it was a very serious situation. What do we holler when we get into trouble like that? Do we holler, "Praise the Lord"? Yeah. Jesus, we need to holler the name of Jesus. But I really believe it was that praise that saved her. She gave the judge, I saw the letter that the judge wrote her later. They never did catch the guy for quite a while. They caught him on another crime and finally did find him. And she was testified and she forgave him. The judge said he had never heard a story on forgiveness as he had heard from her. It was an awesome that she had forgiven him of that. But praise in the times, all times, praise the Lord. Not necessarily for what's going on, but just to give him praise will release the word of God, will release his power. And here in the case of Judah, God's power is released. And you go on the story, Jeroboam was smote, and what was there? And he slew them with a great slaughter and fell of Israel, 500,000 men. Now the thing we'll hear of the battle is he had double the men than what Judah did. Abijah had double the men. And yet they were willing to shout praise when they were surrounded. Allow God to win the battle for you. Praise will allow God to win the battle. Hallelujah. Let's go to another one right quick. There's a bunch of them. 2 Chronicles 30 is Hezekiah. I think 30:21. Let's see. No, this is a different situation. This is not a battle. But this here, during this situation here, they were getting sent out of the camp, really, and sent out of their lives and repenting, and they were going into one of the Jewish holidays. And in verse 21, the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of the unleavened bread for 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. You know, we hear the story, turn things down, don't get too loud, but here they were the loud instruments, and up in heaven, it's loud up there, And I'm not saying we don't need to blow our ears out, that's not good either, but a little loud, a little extravagant is not bad at all. And Hezekiah, verse 22, spake comfortably unto all the Levites and taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days and kept other 7 days with gladness. And if you go to Kings, can't see it. Boy, Kings 8. 65, it was the same thing, is another time Solomon did that. But they actually was having so much fun with the Lord and so much fun and rejoicing and praising, they decided to go another 7 days. Don't let that church service go past 11:30. <laughs> 14 days singing and praising God and celebrating. Hallelujah. Selah. Wow. Chapter 20 is on Jehoshaphat. This is a good one. And I think you all know, have heard these and have read them before, but it's good to review them. And again, they were getting ready for war. And really the whole chapter is really good. They were getting ready for war. Let me just read part of it. Let's start there from the beginning of the chapter. It came to pass that after the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and the other besides Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be of Hezron Tamar, which is Eglade. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek God and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And there's a good thing to do. He declared a fast and he seeked the Lord. If the enemy's coming against you, seek the Lord. See what you need to do. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked for the help of the Lord. That is so cool. I mean, that's what we need to do instantly. God, what do I do in this situation? And even out of the cities of Judah, they came and to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord and before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven? Art thou not God in heaven? Thou rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not thou our God who didst drive the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house. Remember Solomon told him to do that. And in the presence of thy name is in this house, we cry for thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and help. And you know, that was 2 Chronicles. Well, we may get there a little bit. I don't know if we're going to go that way. We may be there a little bit. 7:14. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they come out of the land of Egypt. But now they have turned them and they have destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast out us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. By the way, Mr. Carey and all of you, you better be careful what you're doing with Jerusalem. Selah. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Yeah. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Wow. That's a cool statement. That is a powerful statement. You know, Debbie was talking about that, and others have talked about that. We don't have the power in our own. We have absolutely no power. Dan has no power in this fleshly body, but I tell you, the Holy Ghost in me has a whole bunch. All right? And if we seek the Lord and are doing what he wants us to do, there's a lot of power that can go forth. But he says, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Well, what a good place to look. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They were humble before God. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And there's Asaph. You go, there's a praiser right there. You want to check Asaph out. He's always around where the praise is at, all right? And came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here's a guy that said, that stood up and said, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. The battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. The battle is not me and that other guy that's messing me over. I sometimes think it is, and I sometimes want to take care of it. Don't we all? But that's not the battle. The battle is God's. It's a spiritual battle. And that, and they're outnumbered here by a whole bunch, okay? Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up, and he tells them exactly where they're going to be. They come up by the cliff of Ziz. That's where they're going to be. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Glory, glory, glory. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Korathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very soft voice on high. A loud voice on high. Here a man stood up and told him what to do. And this is a pretty wild thing when you're outnumbered. And they believed the prophet and they went before the Lord and they praised the Lord. They praised him, praised him, praised him, praised him ahead of the battle. Not on after they went through the sea and the enemy was defeated. This is before the defeat. And they're singing loud praises to the Lord and they're giving praise to him. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That phrase, or his loving kindness lasts forever, or his mercy endureth forever, is through, you'll see that time and time again here in the Old Testament, is a phrase that they use to praise the Lord. At the end, I'm going to sing that. Don Potter wrote a song on it. I want to sing a part of it anyway. for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And when they came out against Judah, they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there was nothing but dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. The last two must have stuck each other. That's the only way I could figure out how that ended. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. And it was on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the Valley of Barak, the Valley of Praise. They call it the Valley of Praise, for there they blessed the Lord, a valley of blessing. Wow. Singing praises to win the battle when you're totally outnumbered. Thank you, Jesus. Is that what we do? We get surrounded. You know, every day we get the demonic powers and are being released. And I tell you, there's things that are being released today that are just tremendous. But we stop and think about it. It's no bigger situation than these situations was. And we would learn just to be a people of praise and to speak forth what the Lord has said and to seek him like they did first before we go off. We are going to see tremendous victories because the battle is the Lord's. Do you think the Lord wants New Life Church to prosper? You think he wants us to take the land? Yeah. And not give it back? Hallelujah. It's like I said, they better be very careful what we're doing. This nation's in serious trouble right now. We have turned our back on Israel. Christians, don't do that. Let's stand with Israel. Speak blessings upon Jerusalem every day. The Valley of Praise. Chapter 7, right quick, and you know this one was Solomon's temple. Solomon had prayed a long prayer here in chapter 7. And again, you're going to see that in verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down after the prayer here, the Solomon made the end of the prayer right at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1. The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Remember that. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and upon the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endureth forever, or his loving kindness is everlasting." There's that phrase again. His mercy endureth forever. And then they go on down, you go down verse 6, and David, they talk about what David had done. The priests waited on their offices, the Levites also, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because of his mercy endureth forever. And when David had praised by their ministry, the priests sound the trumpets before them, and all of Israel stood. They used those instruments to praise God in... The temple of the Lord, the glory filled the temple. The glory filled the temple. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles and see another situation of when David and the tabernacle in 1 Chronicles 16. You know there's thankers. I heard Ray Hughes talking about the thankers. He talks about the thankers. And we talk about giving praise and give worship, but there's thankers too. We're going to see in verse 4. Let's just read this chapter because this is pretty neat. So they brought the ark of God. David is getting the ark and he's bringing it. And he's totally going against the law here. He's not doing things right at all. And he's being, and blesses God because he's going to put the ark in his tent that he put behind his house so that he can be in the presence of the Lord. And he's bringing the ark properly this time. They found out that you better do it the way God tells you to do it. Because the first time they didn't, and they found out that didn't work. But so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end to the offering of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, and every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, the next to Zechariah and Jehiel, there's Asaph again, and Shemarmoth and Jehiel, and Mattathiah and Eliab and Benaniah and Obadiah. Obadiah's another one. You're going to see the ark was at his house. You seen him and his boys. They hung around the presence of God. You'll go down through here and everywhere you're going to see that name. They were somewhere around the ark, around the presence. Man, we ought to have a desire to be around the presence of God like that. Well, he had tasted of it because the ark was in his house and God just poured blessings all over him. And man, he didn't want to get away from that. Why do we want to get away from that? We need to just desire the presence of God. God, how I want your presence. Moses said, God, if you don't go, I won't go. We need to say the same thing. But here's Obadiah. He's in here too with Jehiel and the psalteries and with the harps. And Asaph made a sound with cymbals and Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. And on the day David delivered this first psalm of thanks to the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brother. They started here. This went on in the tent for 33 years. One wonder what that represents. 33 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, praises unto the Lord. This music never stopped. You will see a lot of the Psalms was written there. They had enough Levites and they had to, I don't know, they drew or something. I don't know how they, I think they drew straws or how they did it, but probably not everybody even got to play. But this worship and praise went on 24/7, 33 years. David could go right out of his house and go in and get into the presence of God. A lot of the Psalms were written there. Let me turn right quick to, let me give you an example. When you see a Selah, some of them will say it's just a pause. A Selah is a musical interlude. It can be a pause, but a musical interlude in a situation when David needed to go before the Lord. He would go out there in this worship. Sometime he instructed him. You will see, like Psalm 4, it's to the chief musicians of Neagoth, a psalm of David. Again, Psalm 5, to the chief musician. Sometimes he would tell them what instruments to use, what kind of Selah they wanted. It might have been a war Selah. It might be one like that. It might have been one of repentance. There's a lot of different playing music can set you free. It's a worship, and when they did this 24/7 for 33 years, we've got of course out at Kansas City now. They've been doing it for 12, 13 years now. It's right. How many? Since 99. Yeah, and they've been doing the same thing. I got touched by that when I had my heart attack and we were coming back and I stopped there and we spent a couple hours there listening to we went in and listened and they were singing freely in the spirit and all of a sudden they started singing My Mended Heart Sings Praises Unto the Lord. And 3 days or 4 days before that I'd had a heart attack and I said, I receive that in the name of Jesus. They ministered to me, that ministered to me. You can turn on your computer and get that and listen to them do that as you're doing other things on your computer. There's other places that are doing that. Of course, we had the, I lost it, down in the mountains of the Carolinas there where they had prayer back. Yeah, the Moravians. They had prayer and did that years ago. And the presence of God is so strong down there. Angels visit you, and there's all kinds of wild things happen when you go down there and stay in one of them cabins in that area that that Morningstar owns down there. There's other places. They're wanting to start that at Morningstar, too, I think, and have 24/7 worship and intercession. The two go together. But let me show you an example of what a sila, what it does. In chapter 3 of Psalms, what a musical intercession can do. Music can we know what it did to Saul, how when David played, how it eased the spirits that were in him, and we know how evil they were, and it would soothe them. But look in chapter 3, David sounded like we do sometimes here. He says, "Oh Lord, how are they that increase thy trouble, that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There is no help. You're trusting in that God. There is no help. You crazy nut." You know, that's what an atheist would tell us. "What do you want to believe? They told me at jail. I don't know how many times. That's a crutch, Danny." I said, "I love it. I love that crutch. I love that crutch." And I would nicely say, "Where are you and where am I?" You know, and I did that in love. And they understood what I was saying. You know, the crutch can get you through. If you want to call it a crutch, I call it. But that's what David was saying here. They had got him surrounded. His son was chasing him. It was trying to destroy him at this time. And those around him were saying, "There is no help from you in God." And then look there, sila. Now, we don't know how long that sila went. That it may have been 15 minutes. It may have been 2 hours. It may have been 2 days. But they played until the spirit of this was broken. How do I know that? Verse 3. "But thou, O God, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of the holy hill." And another sila. And he gets blessed some more. "I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, and the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against and around me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." And another sila. Praise. Praise on the instrument. That there was a... probably a tahila, spontaneous, a tahila type praise that the orchestra there went into. And they played that and praised until that was broken. 1 Corinthians 3:16. We'll end it up. We're getting towards the end here. I said a while ago when we talked of the glory fell in the temple to remember that. This is all Old Testament stuff. Look over here at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Where's the temple? Now. We're on the other side of the cross. The glory of the Lord has filled the temple. They praised and they done these things without the glory of the Lord is within us. It ought to be just automatic that the glory of the Lord comes out of us in any situation. That praise can come out in any situation. And I'm preaching to this guy too. Okay? Hallelujah. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18-20 says this. 5 and not 6. Not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, be a thanker, always giving thanks unto all things and to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thanks and praise should be coming out of the temple of the Holy, of God. Fire should be coming out of the temple of God. The fire and the glory of God filled the place. They couldn't even enter it for a while. We are the temple of the Lord. One time there was a guy riding with me. I was in the combine, and I don't always make these comments this way, and so don't get me wrong. But we were going along, and it was real wet, and I had my mudders on, my big Terra tires on, and four-wheel drive, and we're opening up the field and going along the fence there, and the next thing you know, whoom, down we went a little bit. I said, praise God, I think we're stopped. And he looked at me and go, you're praising God? You know, we put that hydro in reverse. We backed right out of there because we dropped about that far in the mud, you know. And I don't always react that way. And I usually get in trouble when I don't. We got to learn to make it a standard in our lives. The song I sang, a standard of praise. Not necessarily, not praising God for the cancer, but praising God for the answer to the cancer. Praising God that His Word declares that I am healed from that thing. That's what we praise. We don't praise Him for calamities, but we praise Him for what He says about them situations. And they're all around us now. But we should be praising God that His Word declares that we are victorious, just as these guys was. And we can walk in that victory. Debbie was saying, you know, we get clobbered. It's in some of those things that we grow. You know, if everything just goes honky-dory, we don't grow that much. And you can't be an overcomer if there isn't something to overcome. But we need to start praising on the right side of the sea. And be a thanker and a praiser. Hallelujah. Psalms 150 says this. You all know it. We used to sing it all the time, and I forget how that goes. That's been years ago we sang that. But all from 145 on, they all start out, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Where's His sanctuary? Okay. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. So praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Is He doing any mighty acts today? Hey, praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Is He great? I guess. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Oh, yeah. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals and praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You and praise You that You are God. Thank You and praise You that You have provided. We thank You and praise You that You have given us Your Word. We thank You and praise You that Your Word came and dwelt among us. We thank You and praise You that He rose from the dead. We thank You and praise You that He conquered sin, sickness, death, and hell. We thank You and praise You that we can walk above that and we can walk in victory. We thank You that He ascended into heaven. We thank You that He is at the right hand of the Father right now. We thank You that He intercedes upon our behalf. And we thank You and praise You for that, that He sends the powers of heaven to do battle on our behalf. Hallelujah. That He sends angelic powers. And we just release that upon this church, upon this congregation, Father, to move in a mighty, mighty way. We give You the glory. We thank You and we praise You, Lord. We thank You that that we have victory. We thank you that we're victorious in everything that we do. We're victorious in our work, Father God. We're victorious in our leisure. We're victorious as we lay down to go to sleep. Hallelujah. We're victorious as we wake up in the morning. And it's a brand new day that you have given us, and you've given us brand new mercies. We thank you and praise you for that. Hallelujah, for you are worthy of that praise. And we just want to exalt you and to lift you up. There is no other like you, Lord. There is no other God. And we just want to give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah.
Ruah! Ruah!
Hallelujah. Ear-splitting sound. Glory to God. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Ruah! Oh, glory to God. Don Potter wrote this, and what you can do with this thing is kind of neat. We're not going to do it tonight, but you can sing Psalms 136. I can sing, you can start singing His Loving Kindness is Everlasting, and then the leader will sing Psalms 136 and talk about all the enemy that was defeated, that God defeated. And then, of course, you can bring it up. I want to bring it up to right now. And this is just take the land. And this is what God has instructed us to do. And through us praising Him, and through us exalting Him, and through us listening to, seeking Him like they did, we will have victory. Hallelujah. We will see the glory of the Lord. Your loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, your loving kindness is everlasting. Yeah, your loving kindness is everlasting. And that's what they sang a lot of the times. They give them victory. Loving kindness is everlasting. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take the land, people. Take the land. We're going to walk right over the river Jordan and take the land. We're going to take the land. People, take the land. We're gonna walk right over the Tippecanoe River and take the land. Well, Moses walked right out of Egypt with the staff in his hand. All of Israel followed after, and they went to take the land. We're gonna take the land, people. Take the land. Gonna walk right over that Tippecanoe River and take the land. Well, the Lord spoke to Pastor Rick one day. He said, "Hey, Rick, I got a plan. I want you to walk right over that Tippecanoe River and take this land. We're gonna take the land, people. Take the land. We're gonna walk right over the Tippecanoe River and take this land. We're gonna take the land, people. Take the land. Gonna walk right over that Tippecanoe River and take the land. 'Cause your loving kindness is everlasting.
Dismissed. Okay.